Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
To another virtual, if not virtual, meeting. Roll call, please.
Bruce Brinker.
Here.
Debbie Berry.
Here.
Dan Moore.
Here.
Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
Would you join us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And new motion, subject to amendment, to approve minutes from the November 9th, 19th meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Financial report, please.
Great. Thank you, commissioners. Good morning.
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 Just going to have it load up here. There we go. Okay, excellent. These are the numbers through November 30th. As we jump to the charges for services line, we can see that November was a strong month for a couple of reasons. We had contributions from the zoo and from golf that were rather significant. We'll talk about each of those. It was up about $589,000 just for the month. So that means for the year, we're about $8.6 million below where we were last year. And I think by the end of the year, we're going to end up a little bit over $9 million down. So that's a touch better than what we were originally expecting a month ago. But we'll be talking about why that is with respect to zoo and golf. And the other thing I want to point out is we did receive a $411,000 dividend check from Bureau of Workers' Comp that's in the other line. So that has obviously spiked that number quite a bit for November as well. And then from a net revenue perspective, that translates to us being down about $3.1 million from last year. But it's important to note that 5.2 of that is additional contribution of restricted monies under the grants and gifts line. So again, that 5.2 cannot be used for operations. Those are restricted funds. Looking at our salaries and benefits, we've now evened out on the three pay periods, October of this year versus November of last year. So that's why you see the big swing in November, but aggregately for the year, we're about $8.4 million less in spend than we were in 2019 through this point. And that puts us to a total OPEX savings of about $15.3 million, a little over half, 60% of which is coming from the salaries and benefits, the people costs, and about 40% coming from operational savings and cost containment. That puts our operating surplus at about $12.3 million ahead of where we were last year. Consistent with our prior reports, we have been active on the capital side. We can see that out of that surplus, we take about $8.5 million of that back through the spend that we have. But again, we're at $14 million worth of restricted funds that are propping up our construction spend this year. We're at about 70% other people's money for our capital contracts that we've executed this year. So on a net-net basis, that puts us at about $3.8 million additional surplus from where we were at this point last year, which is really pretty remarkable, all things considered, for 2020. Looking at the zoo, we did have a strong month in November. You can see that top line, our general admissions are up $335,000 over last year. There's a couple of reasons for this. Number one, we started Wild Winter Lights a week earlier this year than we did last year. We're selling tickets at a faster pace for Wild Winter Lights than we did in 2019. And we've been able to keep some of the guest amenities open, like the giraffe feedings and the carousel and a few other things, because the weather's been so good. And then the final piece that's propping that up is the difference in how revenue is recognized from the contract last year to the contract this year. So it's an increase of about $251,000 for the month overall, and those combination of those four factors are what's driving that. So for the year so far through November, the zoo is down about $4.6 million in revenue. Jumping down to our, seems like we're hung up here, David. There we go, okay. Jumping down to our operational expenses, we've done, I think, a pretty remarkable job with all the fixed costs that we have, saving about $3.8 million versus last year. So that's offset all the revenue loss with the exception of about $737,000. Still a meaningful amount, but it could be a lot worse without the execution of Chris and his team. I'm making sure spend is limited as possible. And then on a net basis, again, our capital expenditures for the month were pretty minor for the month of November, so not much change here from where we were in October. And that puts us at a net subsidy position that's about $1.9 million behind where we were last year through November. Jumping over to golf, I have to admit, I actually thought we had a typo when I saw the results for the November for golf. They're remarkable. We did $412,000 in revenue versus $61,000 last November. So huge, $350,000 increase. That puts us over $8.4 million for the year in golf and revenue, which is about $1.4 million more than we were at this point last year. I think what's even more impressive is the fact that even with the additional revenue, which typically takes funds to support it, we've had cost containment. Sean and his managers have done so well. They're about $268,000 less in operating cost, supporting that additional $1.4 million than last year. Now, of course, we've talked about the importance of how this is a short-term position to be in. Long-term, we do need to continue to invest in the courses to maintain the level of experience that we want for our guests. And then jumping down to the net surplus side, you can see we're about $2.7 million ahead of where we were last year. We'll have about $190,000 of pre-buy of fertilizers, pesticides, and fungicides before the end of the year that'll hit. That'll take that down a little bit, but we get the locked in at this year's rates as opposed to next. So since we had the funds, it made sense for us to go ahead and do that this year. And then looking at the per course activity, I think the only thing to point out here is that we've actually crossed over $1.6 million at Seneca. That's a tremendous revenue number. All the courses are overperforming last year, both on a revenue and an operating surplus basis. Looking at enterprise, we can see that we are, the month of November was a little better for us. We're only $16,000 behind where we were in November of last year. For the year, we're about almost $4 million down. We have seen some nice activity pick up for the Winter River Fest and the igloos down at Merwin's Wharf. We'll see the majority of that. That started late November, so we'll see those numbers coming through more meaningfully in December. And the chalet opened up November 27th as well, so we'll see those numbers contributing as well for December. So I'm expecting the monthly basis in December to be more similar to December of last year than dissimilar. It just depends on how much the weather contributes to our opportunity to have a good guest experience, and having some snow typically bodes well for the chalet. It'll be interesting to see how that helps with the ice rink and River Fest down at Merwin's. The enterprise team has done a very good job in saving $3 million of operating expenses against the $4 million that's lost. You can see that we're about $947,000 behind in terms of our operating subsidy. So it's a significant number, but it certainly could have been a lot worse with the revenue contraction and the closures that we've had this year. And then on a net basis, we're a little bit better than that at $904,000 more subsidy than last year. And then there's not much to report on a per location basis with the majority of our operations wrapped up or closed for the year. Merwin's will be improving a little bit as we recognize December's activity. And then same for our other locations, majority of which are closed. Chalet will improve once we get the full month in for December, and parking has been a consistent theme for this year. And other than that, those are the highlights, unless there's any questions.
No, very thorough.
Terrific job.
Yeah, all things being equal. Brian.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The first action item we have is the swearing in of two new police sergeants. I will ask Chief Dolan to come in with our first candidate. Yes, please. Stephen Howard, you were number one. Stephen will be promoted to the rank of Sergeant December 20th, 2020. We would publicly like to recognize Sergeant Howard today as he reaffirms his commitment to Cleveland Metro Parks to serve the visitors and guests. President Rinker.
Raise your right hand, repeat after me. Aye.
Aye.
Repeat your name.
Stephen Howard.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States of America.
Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio.
Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio.
And the rules and regulations of Cleveland Metro Parks.
And the rules and regulations of the Cleveland Metro Parks.
And I will discharge the duties of the office of which I've been appointed.
To which I've been appointed.
To the best of my ability.
Best of my ability.
And I will faithfully carry out and implement.
And I will faithfully carry out and implement.
The policies enunciated.
The policies enunciated.
And the instructions given to me.
And the instructions given to me.
By the Board of Park Commissioners.
By the Board of Park Commissioners.
Of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
Of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
And this I promise to do as I shall.
And this I promise to do as I shall.
Answer under God. I know, we all have.
Go ahead and sign. Congratulations. Our next candidate to be promoted to the rank of sergeant is Anthony Medlock. He reaffirms his commitment to protect and serve the visitors of Cleveland Metro Parks. During his tenure, he began here in 2014. He has a bachelor's degree from the University of Toledo.
I, Anthony Medlock.
I, Anthony Medlock.
Do solemnly swear.
Solemnly.
That I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States.
I will support the Constitution.
Laws.
And laws.
Of the United States.
The United States of America.
Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio.
Constitution and laws of Ohio.
And the rules and regulations.
The rules and regulations.
Of Cleveland Metro Park.
Cleveland Metro Park.
And I will discharge the duties.
And I will discharge the duties.
Of the office of sergeant.
Office of sergeant.
Which I have been appointed.
Which I've been appointed.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
I will faithfully carry out.
Will faithfully carry out.
And implement.
And implement.
Policies enunciated.
Policies enunciated.
And the instructions given to me.
And the instructions given.
By the Board of Park Commissioners.
Board of Park Commissioners.
Of Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
This I promise to do.
This I promise to do.
As I shall answer under God.
That this I swear to do as I answer unto God.
All right.
We got you through it, Anthony. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Again, congratulations to Stephen Howard and Anthony Medlock as they serve in their new roles as sergeants for Cleveland Metro Parks. The recommended action appointing both of them falls on the mid portion of page 9. Congratulations and best of luck.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next set of action items we have is the Cleveland Metro Parks retiring guests. Historically, we do this throughout the course of the season. This year has been certainly challenging, and we have put together a list that represents over 212 years worth of park experience.
Wow.
We would like to congratulate all of the retirees. We were able to recognize them during our Crossroads event, and we're now recognizing them in front of the board as we do. This is arguably one of the best things we do, is to see our employees at the end of their careers and to be able to celebrate them. So the very first one we have is Dan Bader, who retired as a police detective sergeant. He was assigned to a number of different duties, including visitor safety, deter violators of park rules. He attended different trainings. He served as a field training officer, bike team coordinator, and a host of other opportunities through Cleveland Metro Parks. He earned a designation as a master criminal investigator through the state of Ohio. Dan served Cleveland Metro Parks for more than 36 years, and we would like to congratulate Dan on his 36 years of service to Cleveland Metro Parks. The next retiree we have is Tim Blunk, senior technician. He served Cleveland Metro Parks for more than 29 years. His most recent position was senior tech at Millstream Run. He was also a lead. He did a tremendous amount of different things throughout his 29-year career. He spent time at Washington Golf Course, helped with the renovation at Seneca Golf Clubhouse, revitalization of Timber Lane Stable. He helped on the CMA Executive Board, as well as Career Days and OPRA Conference and Trade Show. We'd like to recognize Tim Blunk for his dedication and commitment and his more than 29 years of service to Cleveland Metro Parks. Our next honoree is Charles Drake, technician. He served Cleveland Metro Parks for more than 20 years. He most recently completed his tenure as a technician. Charles worked in a variety of different opportunities throughout Cleveland Metro Parks. He paid a strong attention. One of Charles' greatest accomplishments is he spent time with the Parks Pathway Internship Program. He volunteered his children fishing derbies, river sweep, outdoor odysseys, crossroads, and the first tee of Cleveland during its grand opening activities. I'd like to recognize Charles Drake for his more than 20 years worth of service. Our next honoree is Deborah Hairston. It's hard to believe she's been gone 9 months already, but we would like to congratulate Deborah for her more than 24 years of putting up with not only me, but others in the executive wing. She has done a tremendous job working on the board agenda, taking it from paper to now on the digital side of things. She worked on concession agreements, branded sponsor agreements, vendor insurance, bonds, a host of other things, countless board agendas, meeting minutes, really taking things to the next level. She helped coordinate the STAR tour, administration building activities. She worked diligently on the Commission for Accreditation of Park and Recreation, the Cleveland Metro Park Centennial, Crossroads, Summer Magic. We definitely miss Debbie's smiling face in the wing. We miss her tremendously. We wish her all the best in retirement. Again, we're liking to recognize Deborah Hairston for her more than 24 years of Cleveland Metro Park service. Our next honoree is Bruce E. Mitchell, police sergeant. He spent more than 25 years working for the Cleveland Metro Parks, most recently a sergeant. He did a tremendous amount of things for Ohio Internet Crimes Task Force against children. He was a member of the Honor Guard, served as CPA and first aid instructor. His professional dedication and positive representation of Cleveland Metro Parks by his letters of commendations awards, namely the Life-Saving Award, which is a true testament to Bruce's commitment to Cleveland Metro Parks. We'd like to recognize Bruce E. Mitchell, police sergeant, for 25 years worth of service. Our next honoree is Donnie Mitzo, senior technician. Donnie spent more than 23 years. He spent time as a seasonal and was promoted. After that, he most recently finished as a senior tech. He did a tremendous amount of different things. I don't know if there wasn't a project in Cleveland Metro Parks that he wasn't involved in. I always like to kibitz and chat with him on all the different projects, whether it be the administration building, Seneca Golf Course, Aukerman Park, Rivergate Park, Royal View Picnic Shelter, Trailside Program Center. You can see he's been a very dedicated and diligent member of Cleveland Metro Parks. We very much appreciate Donnie's attention to detail through Cleveland Metro Parks. Somehow I missed Nancy Grabsky, which is unbelievable. She spent 29 years of Cleveland Metro Parks service. She most recently completed her tenure with Cleveland Metro Parks as the executive assistant to the police chief. She spent a tremendous amount of time managing the budget. She was a recipient of the Law Enforcement Civilian Award, Benefit Study Team, Wellness Information Technology Steering Committee, the Centennial Plan, the STAR Tour. We'd like to recognize Nancy Grabsky for more than 29 years worth of service, and Karen Friedman for helping me remember that I missed her. Our last honoree is Deborah Shankland. She spent more than 26 years, most recently finished her career as a naturalist at our West Creek facility at the Stewardship Center. She spent time at Garfield Park, Rexville, Rocky River Nature Centers. She said she led watershed and conservation-based programs for diverse audiences. She was a frontline interpreter. She received the Master Frontline Interpreter Award at the National Association of Interpretation, NAI, Great Lakes Conference. She was honored with Outstanding New Interpreter. She has spent a tremendous amount of time doing events, coordinating activities through the West Creek Stewardship Center, River Day Expo, Bug Fest, Fall Fest, Cedar Valley Settlers Day, World Water Day, and Backyard Nature Bash. I'd like to recognize Deborah Shanklin for her more than 26 years of service. The recommended action recognizing all of our retirees and their 212 years worth of dedication to Cleveland Metro Parks falls on the bottom portion of page 13. And I'd like to congratulate each and every one of them for retiring from Cleveland Metro Parks.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The next action item we have is the 2020 budget adjustment number 11.
Thank you, Brian. Budget adjustment number 11 is for $643,793. This is funded by new CZS funds of $142,000, restricted funds of $54,000, the dividend from the Bureau of Workers' Compensation of $389,000, and auction proceeds of $58,000. And the recommended action is that the Board of Park Commissioners approves this budget adjustment number 11, the detail of which is delineated on pages 54 through 56 of the agenda.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
As 2020 has taught us, I'm going to pull an audible. We do have at least one member of the retirees that would like to speak, so we would like to recognize those at this time.
Thank you, Brian. I will go ahead and unmute Deb Hairston. And Deb, you are good to go if you would like to make a comment.
Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
Hi, Debbie.
Morning.
Thank you so much for recognizing all of us retirees. I have to tell you, on a snowy day like today, I'm glad to be at home. But I do miss you guys. And it has been a great 24 years at Cleveland Metro Park. And I wish you all nothing but the best. Merry, merry Christmas.
We wish you the best.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Miss you.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Debbie. And next we have Donnie Mitzo. And Donnie, you are now unmuted. You should be good to go.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for inviting me to this meeting this morning. I just want to tell you what a pleasure and rewarding it's been working for the Cleveland Metro Parks. I couldn't think of a better way to serve the community than. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congrats, Donnie.
I wish you were here.
And that looks like everyone. Thank you.
That was excellent. Nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Donnie and Debbie. We appreciate that very much. The next action item we have is the 2021 appropriations budget. Bill?
Thank you. According to state statute, Board of Park Commissioners must adopt Cleveland Metro Parks 2021 appropriations budget on or before December 31st of 2020. We worked with each of the chiefs who submitted the budgets for the proposals for their respective departments. We put together the comprehensive budget, not only considering operations for 2021, but also projecting through 2023 for the duration of the current tax levy. The baseline budget asks for appropriations on the operating basis of $109,431,914 and capital of $25,665,703 for a total baseline budget of $135,097,617. And we have estimated carryover encumbrances of $18,937,254 for a total estimated appropriation summary for 2021 of $154,034,871. Additionally, pursuant to Article 4 of Cleveland Metro Parks bylaws, the commissioner shall also fix the compensation range for all employees and as described at the bottom of page 15 of the agenda. So the recommended action is that the Board of Park Commissioners approve this 2021 proposed appropriations budget as reflected above, inclusive of fixing the 2021 compensation range.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item we have is the single source surplus declarations and auction approvals. This is something we have done each year. We have worked with on our surplus declaration, selling items through GovDeals, which is an online clearinghouse for government supplies and property. This is something that has been very successful for Cleveland Metro Parks. We've also gone through the declaration and auction permission. However, some of these items would gain a better price through live auction, which we have done through at Rocky River. This would also be an opportunity to have our reservations continue to purge items that do not typically make their way into the online auction. We are proposing to host an online auction next September 25th at 2021 at the Rocky River Management Center. So we have done this before, so that's another opportunity under B. And then single source summary, the purchase of used vehicle and equipment, which we have done effectively through many different means and methods, buying equipment throughout kind of the Midwest area here. We've been very successful picking up auctions and increasing our number and age of our vehicle fleet. The recommended action falls on the bottom portion of page 17 to enter into the internet auction services with GovDeals to declare for surplus, auction items, and single-source purchase of used vehicles.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next action item we have is authorization for Cleveland Metro Parks Police Department to enter into an intergovernmental cooperative and mutual aid agreement. The board has seen a number of these throughout 2020. This one is now adding the City of Bay Village into an intergovernmental cooperative slash mutual aid agreement. The recommended action falls on the mid portion of page 18.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next action item is an amendment to the board resolution 18-05-070, prisoner housing contracts. This is an amendment we are only adding. As we've added Bay Village into a mutual aid agreement, we've added the City of Bay Village for our housing of prisoners. It has also clarified Ranger versus police and actually set the range based in value on negotiated rate with each facility. There tends to be a little bit of flux up and down depending on the location of the housing contract. Recommended action to amend the resolution 18-05-070 falls in the mid portion of page 19.
Brian, roughly what's that going to cost a person? Is it around 100 bucks? Is that?
It can be plus or minus 100. Sometimes it's 105, 110, depending on the municipality that we're going into, and sometimes depending on the stay, how long.
Okay. Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
My glasses fogged up, so I'm now looking at contract amendment. This is H. This is RFP 6458B, Beecher's Brook Restoration. This is in the North Chagrin Reservation, Chagrin River Restoration at Jackson Field in South Chagrin. Construction guaranteed maximum price. Cleveland Metro Parks has worked diligently with River Reach to continue for the design build services and for the design and construction of two components in the two locations in North and South Chagrin. We have now established a guaranteed maximum price. Those are listed in the action item for the amount listed. So this is setting forth the guaranteed maximum price with River Reach Construction for RFP 6458B for the Chagrin River Restoration at Jackson Field and South Chagrin Reservation as well.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is the Lakefront Reservation authorization to submit a grant application and commit funds. This is a 50-50 match. We're projecting entering into a contract with KS Associates to do coastal shoreline professional design services to perform a level one ecological survey for the area. We do have some erosion with the consistently high lake levels of Lake Erie. We have lost some of the shoreline. We are proposing a natural water shore interface. It will incorporate native materials, will maintain the natural coastal process, and we continue to look forward to bring together this project with KS and Associates. This is again to enter into a coastal management assistant grant, which Cleveland Metro Parks will contribute 50% of the funds. The recommended action falls on the top portion of page 23.
Brian, do I understand that this is inside the main Cleveland breakwall, right?
And
will that be sort of rubble before the a little bit of rubble out maybe 10 or 20 feet out? Is that the idea?
Actually, I believe so. Where the volleyball carts are, if you're familiar with the volleyball
right,
courts,
yeah.
It's actually that area right there. And natural to me could mean a number of different things. I'm not exactly sure the materials that they may recommend, but it'll actually be up against the shoreline to actually protect the shoreline. It's more
okay.
Of a revetment versus in water.
It wouldn't prohibit the installation of a mooring field.
Correct.
Sometime in the future. Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good. Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next we have is the tabulation of award and bids. RFP 6513, Cleveland Metro Parks mobile application. RFP 6530, information systems staff augmentation. Park-wide demolition package. 6532, single source for postage. 6534, concrete. Co-op bid 6535, information technology equipment services. Information technology Kenneco website development 6536. Single source 6540 for paid media advertising. And the last one is the single source 46546 for hand scooped ice cream.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next, we have vouchers and payroll.
The following vouchers have been reviewed as to legality of expenditure and conformity with the Ohio Revised Code totaling $10,498,236.95. And the recommended action is that the commissioners approve this resolution as listed above.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And our public comments?
Okay, we have public comments from Marty. One moment, and I'll unmute her. Okay, Marty, could you please test your phone and see if you can transmit audio?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, I'll proceed then. Thank you. Well, it is understandable that you do not like criticism. Raising questions about how taxpayer dollars are spent and requesting greater detail is hardly specious. If expenses are not accurately assessed, then claiming bottom-line profits is not valid. These are the same issues I've raised all along, before this year and the challenges of COVID. Your reliance on marketing and media demonstrates that you know full well that providing a polished, positive message will influence most people. Folks are too busy with the demands of work and family life to be able to research these issues themselves. In the past, mainstream media were watchdogs for government on all levels, but these days, social media has taken over and is often inaccurate. If your numbers and assumptions are correct, then responding to a single individual's queries should not be too difficult. Previous administrations managed to do it with far smaller staffs and also were more thorough in their public discussions. Understandably, you highlight the positive aspects of events and project that they are successful, but there is no discussion of failure or negative outcomes. Calling such things to your attention could be regarded as constructive criticism, but it is clear that any criticism is deemed unacceptable. Receiving awards is fine, but they often do not accurately reflect the complete picture of the circumstances. While acquiring more land has been very successful, do you believe that Metro Parks is properly equipped and staffed to monitor it all? Downtown parks and trails are a primary focus, but they demand much more policing, as Edgewater and the recent Rivergate murder show. The new dispatch system was unable to say which roads were closed for cleanup after the last storm, and no warning signs were posted. That is pretty basic. Get today's challenges in hand before taking on new ones. My numbers rely on those you supply, yet when I question how expenses are allocated, that is brushed off. A simple profit loss statement following these events could forestall some of my questions and is something that any fiscally responsible organization should be able to easily produce. In the past, there was more attention paid to cost analysis. I presume it is ongoing, even though it is not publicly discussed. An exception was the budget discussion last meeting. Important concerns were raised, and that sets a good example for the future. Further, as regards openness, in the past, the CEO and CFO salaries were included as an agenda item in December. However, they are not shown today. Is that what the executive session personnel compensation item concerns? Why not have that out in the open? It's been a tough year. Wishing everyone happy holidays and a better year ahead. Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Next information briefing.
Next item we have, there were no other public comments, just to clarify that. The next information briefing item is the Tiger Trails update. Welcome, Sean.
Good morning, Sean.
Morning.
Morning.
So we're going to do two things. We'll run through a very quick update on in PowerPoint of all the progress on the Tiger Trails and some of the challenges we've overcome in 2020. And then we've got a quick recap video that that we can share. So 2020 has been a really good year in terms of construction, and we're going to walk through updates on all of the Tiger Trails you see here on the map. So we're going to start with what is already done and has been open for the year, and we saw some really good activity on the connector trails. So this is the Cleveland Lakefront Bikeway connector down Main Avenue, connecting Cleveland Lakefront Bikeway down to the Cleveland Foundation Centennial Lakelink Trail. And then the Canal Basin Park connector, we're looking east here down Old Detroit Road with the trail that then connects you from the Cleveland Foundation Centennial Trail, the north portion that's complete, to Canal Basin Park over the Center Street Swing Bridge. These trails are now fully open and have been maintained by our staff through this whole past year. So we're really pleased with how those turned out. Next, Red Line Greenway. So this is connecting the intersection of Franklin and Columbus to Michael's Own Rec Center. We are, for all intents and purposes, done with the hard construction. We are fully paved. All retaining walls are complete. We just need a spring thaw, and we'll then enter back and do all the planting and landscaping. And we have a very robust plan and installation package for the planting and landscaping there. So we are very, very happy with the progress here on the Red Line Greenway.
So, Sean, will that not open to the public then until the spring?
Correct. Yes. Yeah, we're not going to do an official opening until the spring, until we get 100% complete, just so we don't have any issues with maintenance versus contractor warranty and all those issues that come along with properly finishing out the project. We do have some small touch up to do, but like I said, for all intents and purposes, Mark Haynes has done a fantastic job in getting us to the stage. We are on schedule and we are on budget.
That's excellent.
Which is a very good thing to say on a $6 million challenging project such as this. Whiskey Island Connector, again, connecting Edgewater Park behind the Westerly Wastewater Treatment Sewage Center to the Cleveland Bulk Terminal and then eastward to Wendy Park, then connecting with the Wendy Park Bridge. Again, great progress here. You can see this picture taken in late summer, and then not so quite as nice of a day, but we've got some photos of the pavement down and the fence. That pesky fence along Whiskey Island Drive has been completely removed and put to the TOWA slope along Cleveland Bulk Terminal, just opening up that entire corridor.
It changes everything. It's absolutely beautiful. And I love the way we've got full access to look at the ore unloading dock.
Yes, we've got, not only do we have full access, we actually have you can't see it in the picture here all too clearly, but we've got an interpretive area with kind of a little rest station, way station, where we're working with the port on that exact interpretive to educate folks as they want to take a break on the trail to understand all the workings of the Cleveland Bulk Terminal. So then now we're working on the very last part of the trail before we come back and do, again, landscaping in the spring. This is behind the Westerly Wastewater Treatment Plant. This is the rendering in terms of how we're going to accomplish flying over that junction chamber that serves most of the west side of Cleveland, if you will, with sanitary sewage. So with that, we have our retaining walls done. And this picture is about 2.5 weeks old. So now this is paved. As of earlier this week. And then you can see here that we've got the abutments ready to, and the piers ready to accept that bridge. And if you've seen, the bridge is sitting in the parking lot, just waiting to be set on those piers. And we're really looking forward to making that next
step. Before Sean goes farther, out of all of the projects that we've done, I mean, this by far has tested his mental strength. And the entire team's mental strength. And I have been pushing him. I said, why don't we do this? And he just looks at me and he goes, what? And I give him all the credit and his entire team. They created a way to get over something that has been shoehorned in. The amount of utilities, infrastructure, et cetera, that is mapped and unmapped and had to be moved and re-scooched around is near unbelievable that we're even this far. So This is one of the plates of spaghetti that we literally had to thread a bridge through. So I want to give him all the credit in the world to stay on top of this. Bob Birch and Andy Simons, the construction managers, to get these projects done. I know he's still going, but this is so uniquely talented that this happened.
Excellent.
Congratulations. That's great.
To Brian's point, behind Westerly Wastewater Treatment Center has been the most incredible game of whack-a-mole you have ever played, because everywhere we put something in the ground, we're surprised. And it's been a lot of fun bantering back and forth all the ideas on how to accomplish this, and we're close. It's going to be awesome. To that point, we are thinking of having a little fun with this, because we are going behind a wastewater treatment center. We're thinking about coming in and hanging some of those air fresheners that you would from your car. So in the spring, we'll have a little bit of fun, but let's get there first.
Or garlic.
Maybe. Yeah, garlic. Yeah. It could be good. So Wendy Park Bridge, also extremely challenging, but actually as of 6:04 this morning, we got yet another email from the railroad approving our process. And we are now literally just ready to narrow a date in terms of when we set the bridge. So walking
the bridge, is the bridge near completion, or is it finished yet? Is it?
If you wait two slides, I'll show you. Okay. I'll answer that question explicitly.
He's waited 10 years. He hasn't waited 10 more minutes.
What's the matter with
20,
you?
20, okay. 20 years.
20, sorry.
Okay, so we've got the approaches down in the background here. You can see the approach in Wendy Park right here on the right side of the slide. That's the south the south approach. And then Pier 1 in the background, Pier 2 in the foreground. They are ready and willing, if you will, to accept the bridge. So we've been working with Contec, who is the bridge fabricator. Their offices and fab shop are outside of Minneapolis. We have been doing some virtual inspections, and we have been doing some in-person inspections with our engineering team. The fabrication has gone extremely well. So you can see here, this is one of the main pieces. What they do here is they actually disassemble these pieces into two halves so that they can ship it, and then you'll see the result of that in just a second. So this is a portion of the bridge before it goes into the paint shop. You can see the priming activities going on the left, and then final applied urethane coat on the right. This is our inspection. We literally go in with mirrors to look at every joint, every opening, look at thicknesses, measure thickness of paint. This is something that we spent a little extra money on because of the simple fact is we're putting up a bridge next to a salt mine that has salt in the air. So we want to make sure that we are not exposing any joint, any bolt, any cut with raw galvanized steel. So we're going the extra step.
Minneapolis.
Yes, we're going the extra step and making sure that we look at every square inch.
So is that a galvanized bridge then?
It is painted over galvanizing.
Painted over galvanized. So how are you... The welding, that's got to be some tricky welding, isn't it? Welding galvanized steel that thick.
It is. It is tricky, and I'll tell you that, back to the joints here, we have inspected every joint. We have really gone the extra mile to make sure that what we're getting is the absolute best product.
And, beautiful weld.
Yes. Yeah, we're really happy with what's coming. So. Commissioner Moore, to your question, here we go. We are starting to receive pieces on site. You can see here that picture I showed you before. They shipped it in two pieces. They unbolted it in half so that it could be roadworthy. And this picture was taken about a week ago, and we've got even more pieces arriving now. So we're staging those and getting ready to go through. You've seen this before, but this erection sequence that the railroad has approved. And now we are down to literally just needing a date from them to which we can do this. They're in their quote unquote busy season, which ends on or about January 15th. So after January 15th or so, we'll be scheduling track time to start that sequence to install the bridge and then be done. We're a few weeks behind schedule originally, but we are still going to be done this spring, probably May. Which is not far off.
Start with the new administration.
Sean, how does it come in? Is it coming by truck?
It is coming by truck. We actually, at some point, actually thought about bringing it by rail to see if we could curry some favor with the railroad. They didn't really care for that, so we brought it by truck. We thought about barge.
It wasn't worth their...
It wasn't worth it.
How long does it take to place the bridge approximately, like all those
stages? And you have how much each sequence is, how much time?
Yeah. The maximum track time that they will give us is 90 minutes in one
increment.
Yeah, in one increment. We're looking at probably six different sequences, if you will, and there's some subsequences within each of those six. The most important one will be when we swing in the arches here. So between phase three and phase four, that's we're actually going to meet those in the air live and splice them. Wow. That is going to be the photo worthy moment. And
Dan, we're actually asking Bridget you to be on top with the wrenches to help
you mean it will not be, you won't have, you'll have one piece down though, won't you, or both pieces?
No, you'll have pieces
coming in. We will actually fly in both, splice them in the air, and then set them.
That, wow.
Yes.
And if this is anything like how they put the EFT on top of the rainforest, it looked like he took, I mean, this massive, what, a 52-foot circumference, you know, dome, and he set it on top of a dime. I mean, it was one of the most magical things. It was just up, and it was as quiet could be, and it just moved and just went right down. So if this is anything like that, it should go well.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Let's see, use you with the rhyme.
When you get a 90-minute sequence, then like what's the time in between before you can do the next one?
It is all dependent on traffic. We are literally at the beck and call of the railroad, who is talking to Atlanta, who's got a walkie-talkie and a whole team to let us know when there's traffic, when is the gap coming.
Yeah.
You know, this could be weekend, it could be night. So we're going to try, and of course, I mean, it's got to be less than 25 mile per hour max gust winds. I mean, the stars have to align
everything
for this to happen.
That's amazing.
So we were working through all that. Okay, one last piece here. We have the River Road connector, and it's a pesky little 600 feet, but without it, we don't connect to both the northern portion of the Cleveland Foundation Centennial Trail and the connector trails that are already constructed. Irishtown Bend, we'll come back to you with an update in the spring on where that stands. But for now, we have the funding to build this little piece so that when Wendy Park Bridge and Whiskey Island Connector are done, we can then connect you on a trail to Cleveland Foundation Centennial Trail, Lake Link North. So with that, we are, I would say, at 95% complete construction documents. We have our encroachment permit in the works from the City of Cleveland to build that section of trail on the north side of River Road, fully within the right-of-way. And the goal here is to really thread the needle. We can't pave this trail until the bridge is ready to open, because we don't want to promote people going there. Yeah. So we will probably be within a few days of making all this happen, and that's by design. So that's where we stand. We're going to run through a quick video, and then happy to answer any questions.
Wow.
Okay, I just want to mention for our remote WebEx attendees that the audio will not play for you, but we're going to post the YouTube links in the chat, and we will have the videos available on our board archives page.
awesome. Who's the runner?
That's Eric Hewitt.
That's Eric.
Eric has been nothing but fantastic this entire year. All of the work he's done, all of the videos we've shot, all of the things that we've done to communicate with staff, all of the videos that are produced are all a direct result of Eric's and marketing's and Kelly's hard work. It's truly remarkable. It's neat to have, and he got to a little exercise while he was filming.
Brian, when do you think, I know it's hard to say that now, but when do you think the thing will be complete and open, the Wendy Park Bridge?
I mean, if all things go well, we're targeting right around Memorial Day. I mean, I think there's...
Around
there's,
what?
Around Memorial Day.
Memorial Day, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's been pretty close.
Yep.
So cool.
We should hit that date.
That's amazing work, honestly. Congratulations.
We've got
cool to see.
A great team, all the support you could ever ask for, and you know, we're having fun doing this, and the impact's going to be awesome. So it's just... It's
awesome. Lot.
The thing that just comes out at me hard and cold is, you know, the nation was built on the railroads. I mean, that's our inability to go east and west. And so they got every possible rights to do that.
Oh,
they
could, phenomenal.
I mean, they got a mile on either side of the road heading west. And overcoming that inertia, that legal stuff, is just unbelievable. I mean, it's amazing how anybody can get anything done with the railroad.
Mr. Harriman,
but you've done a great job, all of you. It's terrific.
Yeah, it is.
John's just smiling underneath. It's there have been a lot of offline conversations to figure out pathways to success. Senator Brown, Senator Portman have been extremely helpful. Their teams have been on the ground. We've had many, many phone calls throughout the state. So it's been interesting to say the least.
And Kyle is smiling too.
I had one other question. All the business about the Willow Street Bridge, you know, that sort of is all sort of evaporated, or how?
It's a good thing we didn't wait for the study. The study is still in process.
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe for another 10 years if we're lucky.
Congratulations, Sean and team. The next info item we have is the GFOA Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for 2020. I'm proud to say that this is the 28th consecutive year Cleveland Metro Parks has won this. It is a testament to the budgeting process that Cleveland Metro Parks goes through. It serves as a policy document, financial plan, operations guide, communications device. And again, this is a nationally recognized award through the GFOA. So again, congratulations to Bill, Gary, and his whole entire team in finance. They deserve a round of applause. It's been a very tough year as well. So congrats.
This is a little different from the public comment.
I was going to say, this kind of tells the whole story, right? Great job. 28 years. You can't really argue with that. Congratulations.
Thank you. The next info item we have is the year-end 2020 in review. Kelly Manderfield is going to come in.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Been a while.
Yeah, good
everybody.
To see you.
So every year we've been taking a look back at the past 12 months and, you know, looking at what have we learned, what have we accomplished as an organization, and it really helps us prepare for the year that's yet to come. So looking back over the past 12 months, obviously it's been extremely, extremely challenging, and Cleveland Metro Parks never stopped, remaining an ever constant asset to the community. We saw record trail usage, record golf usage, quickly adapting our education programs and zoo special events to drive-through and virtual classrooms for the education side of the house. Capital projects never stopped, connections, amenities, all of this hard work despite all of these barriers and challenges that we had. And lastly, being able to conserve and acquire over 24,000 acres. So with that, we wanted to capture that and really provide a comprehensive review on video. Wanted to mention that both Brian and Cleveland Metro Parks received several national and local awards and recognition, and that's captured in the video as well. And most of all, you know, our gratitude for this community and traveling this trail together. And again, another thank you to Eric Hewitt for putting together this video. Thank you.
Very good.
What a year.
Great year. Really fantastic.
That was the last information briefing and policy item. There is no old business. The next regularly scheduled meeting is Thursday, January 14th in 2021. We do have an executive session.
Is there a motion for executive session to go into it for the reasons of purchase, acquisition of real property, personnel matter, specifically compensation, and thirdly, collective bargaining?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Bruce Rinker.
Yes.
Debbie Barry.
Yes.
Dan Moore.
Yeah.
And we thank everyone and best for the new year. For this one's behind us. Thank you. Real estate. All right, we are back from executive session, and I would request a motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Go in peace and health.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.